Krishna tells in Sri Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharma samstapanardhaya sambhavami juke juke. From the spiritual world, the Lord descends into a world where envious persons who have been offending and forsaking the will of the Lord since time immemorial are residing. By our own sweet will, we have made decisions to enter into the material existence and to remain here. In this world, if someone plunders your property, if someone is envious of you, if someone blasphemes you, how much love can you have for them? But Krishna is the supreme father and mother of all living beings. The love of Krishna is supremely causeless to every living being. Krishna will never do to anyone what is not ultimately for their benefit. Again and again, Krishna enters into this world to invite us back to our natural home in the spiritual world. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say that we are strangers in a foreign land, because the jivatma is part of Krishna. The spirit soul is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of spiritual knowledge and divine ecstasy. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. We're eternally the servants of Krishna. Love of God is within our hearts. And that love is realized through service. But by the power of illusion, we are serving our mind, our senses, and the temporary mirages of this world since time immemorial. Due to our natural spiritual constitutional position, we must have ecstatic love. We cannot live without it. But we are looking in the wrong directions. We are looking toward the temporary for what is eternal. We're looking toward illusion for what is real. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that we are all like starving animals in the desert, dying of thirst, longing for water. And because of that intense craving for water, our mind bewilders us. We see sand as water. That is mirage. How is that possible? And we run with all of our strength to achieve what appears to be water. Human life is so rare. After 8 million species of birth and death, we come to this human life. Every moment of human life is more precious than all the wealth in all of the universes of creation. But we spend moment after moment, year after year, birth after birth, giving our energies, trying to quench our thirst in the mirage of material enjoyment. We become excited, elated, as it appears we're getting closer and closer and closer. And alas, we attain the water that is our hope of relieving our anguish. But it is not water. When you go to drink it, yehi samsparashja bhoga dukha jonaya evate atyanta vanta konteya nate shuramate puta. We swallow hot sand. Has anyone ever quenched their thirst with hot sand? We've been trying to do it. Whole human civilization in this age of Kali has these false hopes. Prahlad Maharaj explained that our efforts to find happiness in this world are the cause of all our sufferings. Our material solutions create more difficult problems than the problems we're trying to solve. This is not what happens sometimes. These are the laws of material nature. The geologists, the scientists, the biologists, they may be able to gain some understanding of how things work on a very, very gross, superficial level of existence. But its very essence, how this material existence is being operated, and why it is being operated in such a way, can only be understood by the Creator. And in every religion, throughout time, the Creator has spoken. I remember long ago when I was searching in Himalayas, I met some Christians from Madras. They were devotees of St. Thomas, one of the apostles of Lord Jesus, one of his personal associates. He was sent to India to begin Christianity. And he was killed in Madras for trying to do so. But they gave me a copy of the Gospel of St. Thomas. And I was living in a cave in Himalayas, reading it along with other Vedic scriptures. And one verse I'll never forget. Lord Jesus Christ told the world, this world is a bridge. Cross over it. Build no house upon it. The purpose of this world is a bridge. From ignorance to knowledge, from darkness to light, to cross over the river, the strong currents of suffering, birth, old age, disease, and death. This human form of life is the opportunity to cross over. But very few people understand this principle. They dedicate their whole lives building an empire on the bridge. And ultimately, everything falls into the current of time. So this is a universal principle. That trying to be happy in this world is the exploitative propaganda of Maya, or the illusory energy. Anandamayobhyasat. We want happiness. We need happiness. Krishna is so kind that he appears again and again. Yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyah. To give us the opportunity to come out of this foreign land, this vast desert full of sandy mirages, and come to our original eternal home. To come back to that comfortable zone of our eternal family with Sri Radha Gopinath and their eternal loving associates, where everyone with their love centered at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Gopinath have unlimited selfless love for one another. There is no envy, there is no pride, there is no anger, nothing selfish, no ego. Therefore, it is the land of eternal bliss. It is for this reason that the Lord comes to this world, to shake us out of our stupor of ignorance, to wake us up from sleeping in the lap of Maya. But unfortunately, even when the Lord comes, very few people are willing to even hear his message. When the Lord appears in this world, in his principal incarnations, he actually reveals the pastimes of the spiritual world to attract our hearts back to him. Because there's a price to pay to go back to Godhead. And you have to be convinced that that's where you want to go before you'll pay the price. It's like here in Bombay, there are travel agents, and they have posters of beautiful places. Now, wouldn't you like to go here? To Paris, to London, to New York? Would you like to go there? If you go to the American Embassy, you'll see lines of hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people from India are lining up to go to these places, trying to get visas. People are very eager because they're attracted. They're thinking there's something wonderful. The Lord appears in this world with his eternal associates to perform his unlimited divine pastimes. to attract our hearts back to Him. Abhijananti mam mudha. Krishna says, fools, they do not understand who He is. Foolish people think that it is mythology. It is just some nice fanciful stories. No. The Lord's pastimes are the reenactments of the eternal leelas of the spiritual world. Therefore, they're not going to be limited to what's possible in this world of death. When the Lord appeared as Sri Ramchandra, through the agency of Kirodakshayi Vishnu, He descended from the Vaikuntha planet of Ayodhya, along with His beloved consort, Sita Devi, and His wonderful associates who live forever with Him, Lakshman, Bharat, Satrughna, Hanuman, Sugriva, Vibhishan, to attract our hearts to His loving leelas. Simultaneously, He annihilates the wicked, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Indrajit, and by His life and by His words, He teaches us the path by which we can attain what we are so attracted to. The Lord appeared again in the Dwapara Yuga in His original form of Shamsundar, the highest realm of the spiritual existence, Paravyoma. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets within the Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual sky. Excuse me. In the spiritual sky, which is beyond the Paravyoma, the borders, boundary of material existence, there is an eternal light. Those who worship the impersonal aspect of the Absolute Truth can attain the liberation of freedom from birth and death in this world and actually enter into the spiritual light of the Brahma Jyoti. They do not lose their individual identity. They simply have no conscious of that. Like a sun ray in the sunlight, the sun ray has its existence, but it appears to be merged in the unlimited light. It is realization of the Sat, or eternal, aspect of the Lord. But for those who wish to go deeper into the higher realms of spiritual truth, they are not attracted by the Brahma Jyoti. Ishopanishad, it is prayed, please remove this glaring effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti, because my Lord, I want to see Your beautiful smiling face. Liberation from suffering is a partial understanding of self-realization. But for those who take to the process of pure devotional service, they can enter into the eternal spiritual planets of the Lord. And in these planets, there are unlimited expansions of the Absolute Truth. Sri Ram has His planet, Narasingha Dev, Varaha Dev, Vamana Dev. And for those who worship them with love, They are with their beloved Lord for all of eternity. It is not that there is more than one God. The Vedas do not teach this polytheism. The Vedas teach that there is one God. But that one God has achintya shakti. His inconceivable, unlimited potencies. And his supreme potency is hladini shakti. The potency of, that is the origin of all love and affection. The potency that gives all pleasure to the Lord and gives unlimited pleasure to all those jivas, spirit souls, who love the Lord. So in order to accommodate unlimited varieties of ecstatic love, of ecstatic happiness, the Lord expands Himself as so many incredible, all-attractive features just to provide the opportunity of lila, divine pastimes. But Lord Brahma, understanding the essence of all Vedas perfectly, he prays Ishwara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradira Govinda Sarvakarna Karanam Govindam Adi Purushantam Aham Bhajami. Of all these innumerable Vaikuntha planets, there is one supreme planet where the Lord, in His fullest feature, Puna, where all of His opulences, all of His qualities are fully manifested. That is Krishna. Rupa Goswami explains how Lord Shiva, who has His eternal abode, manifests only partial quantities of the Absolute Truth. Above is Lord Narayan. Krishna possesses all the qualities of all other avatars, but His lila is the most spontaneous and sweetest. His playing of His charming flute, the love, the intimate, spontaneous love of His devotees are not to be found anywhere. Even Mahavishnu, even Lord Narayan are intoxicated, attracted by Krishna. Same person, but revealing His sweetest nature. That is Goloka. That is Vrindavan. And at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, Krishna comes to this world and He brings Vrindavan to reveal to all of us. Krishna spoke the Gita to teach us how to go home back to Godhead. Krishna empowered Vedavyas and Shukadeva Goswami to reveal the 10th canto, His wonderful pastimes, to attract our hearts. But in the age of Kali, people become so hard-hearted, so selfish, egoistic, and addicted to bad habits practically no one can even seriously endeavor for anything beyond the path to death. Therefore, Krishna appears in this age of Kali in his full, unlimited, supreme nature to give the most simple and suitable medicine for all of us to return to his abode. Krishna Varnam Visakrishnam Sangopanga Shaparashanam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayaya Yajanti Hishunetasham. The Bhagavatam declares those who are of good intelligence, they worship Krishna, who appears in this age of Kali in a beautiful golden form. He comes to give the supreme gift of the holy name to all. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. The holy name has descended from Goloka Vrindavan. The holy name is none different than Krishna himself. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to give his own holy name to anyone, everyone, without discrimination. Just accept it with faith. Therefore, the great sages and rishis, they worship Kali Yuga as the most auspicious time in the whole universal creation. Because the Lord bestows a causeless mercy that is never to be found at any other time. And within these Kali Yugas, only once in a day of Brahma does Krishna appear to taste the sweetness of the love of Srimati Radharani. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Who is Lord Chaitanya? Radha and Krishna, who are eternally enjoying the supreme pastimes of love in the spiritual world, they combine into one form. Krishna wants to experience what is the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani's love. It is the one thing that he cannot understand in full. How is that possible? Because love takes a superior position over the beloved. Srimati Radharani is the embodiment of all love. Whatever love anyone has is only an infinitesimal part of Sri Radharani's energy of love. It is due to her existence that anyone has any power to love anything. She is the fountainhead, the source of all love. And Krishna is the only object of all of her love. And if anyone with that divine energy in their heart directs their propensity for love to anywhere else but Krishna, that love becomes transformed into lust, kama, selfish desire, greedy desire. But what is the power of love? Love of God makes Krishna, the supreme controller, subordinate. Therefore, in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna is thinking in this way. What is the happiness that Srimati Radharani is experiencing when she sees me? One time Krishna looked in a jeweled pillar, and when he saw himself, he became so incredibly attracted. He became ecstatic seeing himself. But he realized his ecstasy was not as great as Radharani's ecstasy. So he wanted to know what happiness Srimati Radharani feels when she sees me. I cannot understand unless I accept her mood. What is the nature of her love? When she sees a tamal tree, which represents my complexion, she just becomes mad and starts embracing the tree. When the fragrance of my body is carried by a breeze, when she smells that breeze, she just goes mad and jumps to merge into the breeze. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, who assumes the heart, the mood, the love of Srimati Radharani and enters deep into that heart. It is said that Krishna told Srimati Radharani, I am going to descend, but I am going to become Krishna with the love that you possess. She told him, if you experience my love, then every time you think of me, you will roll in the ground in ecstasy, and I cannot tolerate seeing you hurt your body. So I will cover your body with my own golden complexion to protect you. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the Mahabhav, the love, and the beautiful complexion of molten gold of Srimati Radharani. The eternal pastimes of love of Vrindavan are taking place in the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya brought his eternal associates with him to share his pastimes in this world. It was the time for the Yuga Avatar to appear. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared at that very time. All the other avatars, the Manvantara, the Manu avatars, the Guna avatars, the Leela avatars, all avatars are present within the original form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us how when Lord Chaitanya made this decision to appear in the world, first he sent the residents of the spiritual world to prepare for his incarnation. He sent an eternal kalpa vriksha tree. In the spiritual world, the trees fulfill all one's desires. That kalpa vriksha tree descended in the form of Sri Madhavendra Puri. He accepted initiation in the Brahma Sampradaya, which has come through Sripad Madhvacharya. But he brought the ecstatic mellows of conjugal love into the sampradaya of Madhvacharya. Madhavendra Puri was such an ecstatic devotee. If he saw a cloud that was dark, Ghanashyam, he would remember Krishna and fall unconscious. Madhavendra Puri, 24 hours a day for his whole life, he was immersed in the ecstasies of the love of Vrindavan. He had no concern, no care for anything else. Then the Lord sent Upendra Mishra. Upendra Mishra is one of his eternal associates. He gave birth to several sons. One of them was Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra is Nanda Maharaj from Goloka Vrindavan, who incarnated in this form. There was a great devotee and scholar whose name was Nilambar Chakravarti. He gave birth to a daughter. That daughter was Mother Yashoda of the spiritual world, who incarnated as Sachi Devi. She was reunited with her eternal husband, Jagannath Mishra, in marriage. He sent Lord Balaram, who appeared in Ekachakra as the son of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, in the form of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. He sent Sadashiva, who came together with Mahavishnu to take birth in Navagram as Sri Advaitacharya. Narada Muni appeared as Srivas Thakur with his brothers, Sri Ram, Sri Pati, Sri Nidhi. The father of Srimati Radharani, Vrishabhanu Maharaj, descended in this world as Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Lord Brahma descended as Srila Haridas Thakur. In this way, countless associates of the Lord appeared to set the stage for his most auspicious descent. Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, by the Lord's will, entered into their hearts with a burning desire to have a child. They gave birth to a beautiful daughter. But practically just after birth, the daughter died. They had another daughter. She died. Now you can understand, mothers, when you carry a child in your womb for 9 months, your heart becomes very soft and loving toward that child. And when you see the little baby, there's great joy. In fact, I'm happy to announce that today morning, just after the sunrise, Sri Dama Prabhu and Kishori Mataji gave birth to a very auspicious little girl. In the spiritual abode of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So we can understand that this child is a special blessing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has appeared on his own appearance day to bless all of us Let us welcome her to our Sangam of Vaishnavas. She can hear through the speaker system. Just as Devaki and Vasudev, they saw six of their little babies murdered by Kamsa. This is a great mystery. But the Lord wants to show the world through His pure devotees. That for the Lord's appearance in our hearts, we must be willing to faithfully endure any difficulties that may come upon us, however inconceivable and mysterious they may be. So it is explained that Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, after 8 daughters consecutively died, they didn't give up their devotion. They increased it. They decided that let us worship Shalagram Srila very nicely. Extra offerings to please the Lord. And they gave birth to a most beautiful, all-attractive son who was a partial expansion of Lord Balaram. Just as Balaramji entered into the womb of Devaki to prepare it for Krishna's arrival, similarly, Vishwarup Balaramji prepared the womb of Sachi Devi for his eternal master and worshipable Lord. So in the month of Magh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared by his own divine arrangement. He first appeared within the mind of Jagannath Mishra. From the heart of Jagannath Mishra, he was transferred into the heart of Sachi Devi. It was not an ordinary process of having child. It was absolutely pure and spiritual. It was a transfer of the Lord through the pure love of his devotees' hearts. When Sachi Devi became pregnant with the presence of the Lord within her heart, she became effulgent. She was so beautiful, unlimitedly beautiful. Meanwhile, the Vaishnavas, they were feeling so much pain to see the pitiable condition of human society. In Navadvip, the high seat of learning, there were orators of Srimad Bhagavatam who never spoke a single word about devotion. There was great scholars of Bhagavad Gita who didn't even describe who is Krishna. They saw the whole world was plunged into selfish, greedy existence. Even people who were yogis, who performed severe tapasya since their earliest childhood, they had no sense of love or devotion. Even the greatest scholars, memorizing volumes of scriptures, had no conception of the conclusions. What was the condition in those days? People were spending massive amount of monies for marriages. They were even spending massive amount of money to perform marriages for animals. They were worshipping the snake goddesses, various demigods, simply for material benefits. But nowhere, nowhere were people sincerely chanting God's names. According to the scriptures, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. In the age of Kali, it's the only way to attain love of God, is sincere, offenseless chanting of the holy names. They saw material prosperity. They saw very advanced material education. They saw people with beautiful and handsome bodies. But the Vaishnavas cried in sympathy for them because they had lost the treasure of love of God. They had no clue of where to look. And when the devotees tried to enlighten them, they were blasphemed, they were criticized, they were condemned. When the people saw the devotees, they thought they were just sentimental, unrealistic beggars. What is all this chanting? Why you're chanting loud? If the Lord is in your heart, just chant silently. He will hear you. If you chant so loudly, you may wake Him up. And if He gets angry, He'll destroy the whole universe. And it's your fault. So better you're destroyed before you destroy us. This was their mentality. So Srivas Thakur and his brothers, they had kirtan in their house all night long for one singular purpose. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, personally descend to enlighten the ignorant masses of Kali Yuga, because no one else could do it. Every night, all night, in the house of Srivas, the devotees were just crying out for Krishna to appear. Not for their benefit, but for our benefit. And Sri Advaitacharya, the very ocean of compassion, his heart was broken to see the lamentable condition of human society. Can you imagine how he would have cried if he came to Bombay in 2003? He was weeping and crying in sympathy, seeing Navadweep in 1486. But he's Trikala Gya. Sri Advaita Prabhu, he was not only seeing how Kali had conquered the entire world with his consorts of envy, lust, and greed, but he could see into the future. He could see Mumbai 2003. He could see the conflicts between Iraq and the President of the United States. He could see the world wars. He could see the drug addiction, the alcoholism. He could see so many cheating persons in the name of religion, simply exploiting people. He could see how religion was becoming irreligion, and irreligion was known to be religion. He cried. He had everything. But seeing the ignorance of Kali Yuga, he displayed paradukaduki. A great soul's only unhappiness is to see the sufferings of others. And there is no greater suffering than forgetting your eternal soul and the great treasures within it. So Advaita Prabhu made a vow. He vowed that he would cause Krishna to personally descend to disseminate his own holy names to deliver us. One day he was reading the scriptures and he found a passage that if one worships Lord Krishna with the water from the Ganges and tulsi leaves with pure devotion, then Krishna will answer that devotee's prayers. So Advaita Prabhu, in Sri Navadvip Dham, he would sit near the bank of the Ganges all day, every day, worshipping his Shalagram Srila Vishnu, offering with the pure compassion of his heart the pure water of the Ganges and the tulsi leaves. And as he was making these offerings, with tears of love flowing from his eyes, his hair standing on end, his limbs trembling, he would cry out, Krishna, please come and save your lost children in this world. He was crying out Krishna's names with such devotion. Spiritual potency can transcend all material limitations. His voice, endowed with the love and the compassion of his heart, had the power to go beyond the entire material existence. It ascended beyond all the higher planets, Bhuloka, Bhuvaloka, Swargaloka, Janaloka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, then to the border of material existence, Viraja. His voice crossed over the Viraja River into the spiritual sky of the Brahma Jyoti. That voice continued to travel up through the Paravyoma, bypassing all the Vaikuntha planets, and entered into Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna Loka, where Krishna personally heard Advaita Prabhu's voice crying out mercifully for the Lord to save us. So Krishna descended into the womb of Sachimata to respond to the prayer of his devotees. This is very important to understand. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the property of his pure devotees. None of us have any hope or chance of receiving the mercy of the Lord without the prayers of compassion of his servants. It was this devotee, Advaita Prabhu Srivas, it was by their love for us that the Lord has appeared to come. Thakur Haridas, he was living in a cave in Fuliagram. And he was chanting the holy names constantly with the exclusive intent of attracting Krishna to appear to save the fallen souls in Kali Yuga. So how much we owe our lives to the Vaishnavas. That must never be forgotten. Some days, Sachi Mata, she was having visions. They were something much more than dreams. They were visions where she saw celestial beings and demigods crowding around her bed and worshiping the Lord within the womb. She explained this to Jagannath Mishra. He was struck with wonder. He would go out and for no reason people were just bestowing all kinds of precious gifts upon him. Everything became auspicious. But there was one thing that troubled them. 9 months passed. 10 months. 11 months. 12 months. The child was not coming out. And they didn't have those, what do you call it when you cut it open? Huh? How do you brahmacharis know all this? Our pandit, Radhakund Prabhu, says it's a cesarean. They didn't do like that in those days. So, 12 months passed, and Sachi Mata was becoming more and more and more effulgent and attractive with the beauty of the Lord. She actually was the abode of the Lord. She was the Dham of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they approached Nilambar Chakravarti, Sachi Mata's father. And he performed very accurate astrological calculations. And because he was a pure-hearted devotee, he was not just seeing the technical scientific data of the charts. He could actually see through his divine empowered intuition the subtle truths. And he explained that this child is a divine being. This child is waiting for the most auspicious possible time to appear. So on this day, the 13th month of Sachi Mata's pregnancy, the full moon was rising over the horizon of Nadia. That night was a full lunar eclipse. As the moon was being covered by Rahu, all the superstitious people consider this is terribly inauspicious. To protect our material prosperity, we must somehow or other counteract this. So they took shelter of the scriptures. In the age of Kali, the only way to counteract inauspiciousness is the loud chanting of the holy name. there is so much auspiciousness, we should chant much louder, please. Everyone was chanting. Millions of people were in the Ganges, just chanting, Hari, Hari. Even the most materialistic people were taking shelter. I was told by one of our devotees living in Bengal that so many people, they worship various goddesses for material benefits. But when someone's dying, then they chant the names of Hari. This is not love. Because, but ultimately they know that only Hari can save you. Even those who were malicious, even those who were completely against the Hindu Dharma or the Vedic Dharma, even they, seeing millions and millions of these people chanting Hari, Hari, even they, either joking or just completely possessed by the energy, they all started chanting, Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
Seeing this, the devotees were in ecstasy. Srivas Thakur prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, let this eclipse never end. Everyone is chanting, Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
It was at that moment when the whole world was chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. Most auspicious of all times. On the full moon night of the month of Phalgun. That the most auspicious event in all of history took place. Kaviraj Goswami explains that Rahu was thinking that what is the use of this moon with so many spots when the full golden spotless moon of Gaurachandra is about to appear? So thinking in that way, he covered the moon. As everyone was loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared from the womb of Sachi Devi, like the full golden moon rises in the horizon. When Sachi Mata saw this beautiful golden form, her heart melted with unlimited, ecstatic motherly affection. As did Jagannath Mishra when he saw his child. All of the relatives of friends, when they looked at the child, the same love that the eternal devotees have for Krishna, they had for this child, but they couldn't understand why. Advaita Prabhu with Sita Thakurani, he sent his wife to bring beautiful gifts to offer the Lord. And when she saw this little infant child, immediately she understood that Lord Gopal of Goloka has now appeared in this beautiful golden form. Advaitacharya and Haridas Thakur, they were dancing and dancing in ecstasy because they could understand within the core of their heart that their prayer had been answered. everything became auspicious. This is a brief summary of the narration of how the Lord appeared within this world. When he was just newborn, Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, he did horoscope. And also one Brahmin came, and he actually could foresee the future. That this child will spread the greatest fortune upon the entire universe. Because this child is the very source of all nourishment for all of creations, his name should be Vishwambar. And Sachi Mata, she was thinking, because my child was born under the neem tree, I will call him Nimai. And also, because the neem tree has bitter leaves, it is said that it attracts away all inauspicious elements. And because so many of her children had already left, if I name my child Nimai, he will be protected. And the ladies of Navadvip, they were thinking, he looks just like Lord Hari with a golden complexion, so we will call him Gaur Hari. And Jagannath Mishra, weeping tears of ecstatic love to see each golden limb of his child, he called the child Gauranga. And because he was born from the womb of Sachi Devi, he is eternally glorified as Sachi Nandana. From his very infancy, he was executing his mission. He would cry. And actually, everyone loved this little baby so inconceivably. Their only purpose in life was to make him happy. This is an impossibility in the material world. Parikshit Maharaj was amazed when he heard this about Krishna. How could it be, he asked Sukadeva Goswami, that everyone in Vrindavan loved Krishna more than their own children? It's not possible. No mother, even if the child is naughty and bratty and fails in their exams, still, the mother loves their child more than someone who gets the top grades in the exam, who's somebody else's child. Do you have that experience? If someone's well-behaved, if they're someone else's child, you just don't love them as much as your own. So how is it everyone loves Krishna more than their own child? Sukadeva Goswami explained, because Krishna is the super soul in every heart. Krishna is the source of life of every living being. Krishna is the eternal object of everyone's love. The only reason we love anyone is because they're part of Krishna. When Krishna appears with his full, unlimited opulences, to love him, all other love of all other living beings is naturally part and parcel included. Krishna is all attractive. So all the residents of Navadvip, who were the close associates of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi, they loved their Nimai as their very life and soul. the perfection of all of their desires was to see him smile. And the anguish of their hearts was to hear him cry. This is how Nemi controlled them. So Nemi would cry. And what do mothers do when their babies cry? The first things they're supposed to do is take them out of the temple. Just in case. And then there's so many other processes following that one. So you give them your milk. And oftentimes they're very happy. This is what I have theoretically learned. Or you may give them some toy, or you may sing some song for them. Well, Sachimata, Nemi was crying. She just offered milk. He kept crying. Even more, she offered him all kinds of little playthings. All the ladies were gathered around, just giving everything, doing anything to somehow or other get him to cry. It was breaking their hearts. And ultimately, when they couldn't find any solution, all they could do is just desperately cry out, Hari, Hari! And beautiful Nemi smiled. He revealed the secret. If we want to please the Lord, we must sincerely chant His holy names. So from that day on, the ladies of Navadvip would just remain practically day and night in the house of Sachidevi. And every time little Nemi cried, they chanted the holy names. Nemi established the Yuga Dharma from his very first days in this world. We have seen this beautiful spontaneous drama by the Brahmacharis of how little baby Nemi, when he was just walking and running, how he bestowed his causeless mercy upon that Brahman. Did you all see that drama? Please know that this drama, there was no rehearsal, there was no script, just spontaneous, just whatever they know of the story, they acted for your pleasure. Because there's no greater perfection of life than always remembering Krishna. And those persons who help us remember Krishna are our dearest and best friends. So let us thank these sincere devotees for helping us to remember Krishna. As Nemi grew older, he became the best of all scholars. His father, by his own wish, actually, I'll only tell one or two stories from this era, because it's becoming late. The moon is going to rise soon. Vishwarup, Nemi's brother, he saw the condition of materialistic society. And it just broke his heart so much. It was intolerable for him. Therefore, he spent all day, every day at the house of Advaita Prabhu, just hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Krishna. One day, Sachi Mata told Nimai, "Go bring Vishwaroop. It's time for him to eat lunch." So he ran. He was just playing with his friends, not wearing clothes, body covered with the dust of play. He ran to the house of Advaita Prabhu, and they were all discussing Krishna and chanting the names of Krishna. And as soon as he entered the house, just a small child, his golden form was resplendent with such beauty that everyone's hearts and minds were charmed. By his yogamaya potency, he caused everyone to forget that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They thought he was just an ordinary child. But on this particular day, they were so attracted by the beauty of Nimai, they couldn't even chant. They couldn't even speak. They were stunned. They couldn't even blink their eyes. They were just staring with tears flowing. And Nimai came and pulled Vishwaroop by the dhoti and said, "Mama is calling, come, lunchtime, come." And dragged him away. Advaita said to the devotees, "What just happened? Who is this child? The same love we have for Krishna was pouring profusely from our hearts toward this child. Who could it be?" But they could not understand. Another time, Advaita Prabhu and the devotees were chanting the holy names very loudly. So Nimai came. And they said, "Why have you come?" And he replied, "Why have you called for me?" And then he smiled, laughed, and ran away. So when Vishwaroop heard the news that his parents were arranging for his marriage, he decided, I cannot live in this materialistic society. So in the middle of the night, without speaking anything to anyone, he left home and took sannyas. Very young age. At that time, Nimai tried to console his parents, who were weeping intensely. Everyone was trying to console them. And some of the relatives, they started quoting scriptures, even though their hearts were broken because Vishwaroop left. They told Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, "Actually, you're most fortunate. Because when a son takes sannyas, then many thousands of generations, past and future, of all relatives are liberated from the material world. So you are most fortunate, you are liberated." But they didn't care about liberation. They just wanted Vishwaroop. So one day, Jagannath Mishra decided that this study of the scriptures is very dangerous. Nimai is always studying the scriptures. He's so absorbed in studying scriptures. He's going to become like Vishwaroop. If you study the scriptures, you realize that so many of the happinesses of this material world are illusion. That ultimately you have to die and everything is lost. He's going to renounce the world and take sannyas if he keeps reading. And he's all we have. He called Nimai in the room and said, Nimai, from this day, no more study. You can do anything you want, but no studies.
Hare Krishna.
Now, mothers and fathers, would your children be happy if you gave them that instruction? Nimai was not happy. He decided, that I will do so much mischief that my father will surrender and let me study again. So he just went out with his friends, and they were so mischievous. According to the Shastra, whatever mischief anyone has in this world is only infinitesimal part and parcel of the mischief of Krishna. But the difference is, our mischief caused people sorrow and confusion, but his mischief causes people unlimited ecstatic bliss. So he and his friends played every game that was ever invented, and more they played. They would go during the day investigating. Where can we make the most mischief tonight when it is dark? Would you like to hear some of their excursions? They would see a very beautiful, well-attended grove of banana trees.
Hare Krishna.
So Nimai, with some of his friends, two or three of his friends at one time would be covered by a big white cloth so they looked like a huge bull. Huh? Then this bull, which was actually Nimai with his friends under a sheet, they would go charging into a banana grove. And they would start knocking down all the trees. And the owner of the banana grove would hear all of his trees being just knocked to the ground. And he would come out, hi, hi, hi! And they would run away.
Haribo.
He was thinking, this mysterious bull is causing so much trouble. Nimai wanted to show the world that the banana trees and the fruits of the trees, the bananas, they are all only meant for his satisfaction. This is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. That real renunciation is not to perform no work or to light no fire. Real renunciation is to work according to our particular prescribed duties and offer the fruits of our actions for the platter, for the satisfaction of the Lord. Krishna told Arjuna, you are a kshatriya, you fight, but fight for me. If you're a businessman, do your business, but what is the fruit of your work? It should be utilized for the satisfaction of Krishna. If you water the root of the tree, the whole tree flourishes. Krishna is the root of all that exists. If you're a mother or a father, raise your child as an offering to Krishna. Whatever we may be, the perfection of our life, samsiddhir haritoshanam, is if our efforts please Krishna. So Nimai wanted to show the world that all of the fruits of everyone's labor, all property, is mine. It is all meant for my happiness. And if I'm happy playing like a bull with my friends, knocking it down, that is the perfection of your property.
Haribol.
They would secretly tie down the windows
and the doors of a person's house from the outside. And then they would just hide and watch.
When that inevitable moment comes, when nature calls, we must respond. First she whispers, "It's time to go. It's time to serve me." Then she speaks.
"Why are you taking so long?"
Then she raises her voice. "I'm becoming impatient. I'm waiting for you." Then she starts screaming. "Ah, what are you doing? Get out of here. Do it, do it, do it." So these people were running. Because in Vedic society, no one does these things indoors. Everyone does it outdoors. There was no toilets or latrines or any of this plumbing. It was a natural life. You go outside, under the stars. It's a beautiful civilization. So they were just... they couldn't open the doors, they couldn't open the windows, and they were screaming so much inside. And we all know that what you have inside ultimately has to come out. So they were screaming at the top of their lungs, "Open the door, open the door!" Ah! And Nimai and his friends would just laugh and laugh and laugh and run away. Hare Krishna. Nimai wanted to show the world that we are all helpless unless we loudly cry out his holy names for mercy. And on this note, forgive me, but I'll be right back. One day, Jagannath Mishra had an appointment out of town. While he was away, the neighboring ladies came with a very, very mysterious report to Sachi Mata. They said, "Your son Nimai, he is sitting on top of a pile of discarded old clay pots. You should see what he looks like sitting in such a dirty place." Sachi Mata was amazed. "Why is he doing such a thing?" She hurried to that site, and there she saw little Nimai, high up on a pot of old cooking pots. Now, you know, they cook with cow dung or wood, and the clay pots would become completely covered with black. And after cooking once, they would throw it away in this pile. So Nimai, his beautiful golden complexion, was decorated with all these black spots all over his body. He looked like a beautiful golden lotus covered with black bees swarming around him. And Sachi Mata, she was very, very much worried. "Why are you doing this? Come down, come down." He said, "No, I will not come down. She said, you're in a dirty place. I said, why are you saying this is a dirty place? These pots were used to cook for Vishnu. How could anything used for Vishnu be dirty? And besides that, Om Apavitra Apavitrovam. He didn't say that verse, but he spoke the purport. That I am all pure. Whatever I touch becomes purified. All the ladies were listening. They could not. What is he talking? Then Nimai actually entered into the mood of Dattatreya and spoke transcendental knowledge to his mother. Whatever touches me becomes purified. How can you say that I can become impure? And Sachi Mata was so much disturbed by his arguments. She's saying, you're the son of a Brahmin. The standard of a Brahmin is cleanliness. Look at how filthy you are in such a filthy place. You come down. So Nimai, he said, how? Tell me, how? How do you expect me to be able to discriminate between what is clean and what is dirty, what is pure and what is impure, what is right and what is wrong, if you do not let me study books? Ah, the ladies, they took Nimai's side. Ah, you don't let him study books? What is this, you don't let him study books? Sachi didn't know what to say. She was surrounded. The ladies were saying, our children hate to study books. We have to do so much effort to get them to study. Your child loves to study and you don't allow him to study. Who is that great enemy of yours who has convinced you to tell him to stop studying books? As far as we're concerned, we're on his side. If you don't let him study books, let him stay on his pot.
Haribo. Sachimata was very embarrassed. Ultimately, she walked up all the pots and picked up Nimai and brought him home, who was just smiling very nicely.
So that night, when Jagannath Mishra returned home, she said, our son is very unhappy. He wants to study. And the relatives explained to Jagannath Mishra that actually Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. If he wants to protect your son, if he wants your son to marry, then whether he studies or doesn't study, it will happen. So Jagannath Mishra told Nimai he could resume his studies. And he asked Nimai, of all the teachers in Navadvip, who do you want to study under? Nimai wanted to study under Gangadas Pandit, disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, great, great scholar and great devotee. It was at that time that Jagannath Mishra offered the sacred thread ceremony to Nimai. And after the ceremony, Nimai manifested his incarnation of Vamanadev and went out to beg for Dakshina. Soon he became the most favorite pupil of Gangadas Pandit. He became the greatest scholar in all the world. He could present logical arguments that would bewilder even the greatest pundits' minds. He would ask someone a question, then he would refute it, and they would be defeated. Then he would establish what they originally said and ask them, you refute me now. And they tried, and he defeated them. Then again he would refute what he had just said. It was beyond human ability. He revealed the supreme opulence of knowledge. And we know the wonderful story of Keshav Kashmiri, the Digvijay Pandit who conquered all directions. All the scholars of Navadvip were fearful of their lives. All of the reputation and glory of Navadvip was going to be plundered by this man because no one could stand before him. But Nimai, who was just a simple, small grammar student, grammar teacher, happened to be seen by the Digvijay Pandit on the bank of the Ganga. When Keshav Kashmiri saw the beauty of Nimai, his heart became very, very mysteriously attracted. And Nimai very cordially welcomed him. In the circle of many students, he said, "Oh, you are a great scholar. We have heard all about you. Undefeated." He carried a Vijay Patra. Anyone he defeated have to sign their name. So it was written in history that Keshav Kashmiri has conquered you in debate. Previously, the students told Nimai about this Digvijay Pandit. He had amassed so much prestige, fame, and wealth that when he was coming into Navadvip, he had thousands of Brahmins chanting slokas just to make his appearance auspicious. He was riding on elephants decorated with all kinds of royal paraphernalia. There were horses and chariots. There were bands playing music just to proclaim, "Digvijay Pandit is coming! Hare Krishna." Nimai looked at him, looked at his students as they continued. "It is said that whatever he speaks, Goddess Saraswati personally speaks through his tongue." Lord Chaitanya, Nimai told them that a person who has good qualities is like a tree with good fruits. A tree with good fruits always bends its head down, low, to whoever passes. But a tree with no good fruits keeps its head very high up. Similarly, a person who actually has good qualities always humbles himself before others. And wherever there is this false pride, it is a sign of a person bereft of the Lord's mercy. The Lord will never tolerate for long anyone's false pride. Look at Ravana, Nahusha, Hiranyakashipu. So many persons, they conquered universes, but because of their pride, ultimately, they were cut down. You will see very soon this Digvijay Pandit, his false prestige will be cut down inevitably by the will of the Lord. So Nimai, when he saw Digvijay Pandit, honored him very graciously. "Oh, you are such a good scholar. Please recite poetry in glorification of the Mother Ganga." Within moments, he composed such a poem, over 100 verses. He just composed right on the spot in what appeared to be perfect Sanskrit vocabulary, meter, and grammar. It was a masterpiece of poetry, right on the spot. The students, they were overwhelmed. They were gasping in an astonishment. How could anyone write such poetry? And Nimai, he said, this is very good. He said, your poetry is so advanced that no one can even understand what it means. This is part of scholarships. You speak in such vocabulary that people, they don't know what you're talking about. They just know that you're something very great. So then Nimai said to him, now please explain the good qualities as well as the faults of your poem. Ah, no faults in my poem. I have never made a fault. Flawless. So Nimai pointed out the faults. And he tried to argue. And Nimai defeated him totally. He asked how Nimai actually recited the verses that had the faults. He said, how did you remember? I recited those verses 100 like the raging wind. Nimai said, just as you have been gifted by God with the ability to compose, I have been gifted with the ability to remember whatever I hear. So Keshav Kashmiri was defeated by this child. And when he tried to respond, a miracle took place. His mind became completely blank. He could not even remember his own name. Who he was, where he was, what he was doing, what to speak of arguing with Nimai. He was utterly bewildered. He tried to speak, but he could not get a single sound out of his mouth. Seeing him dazed and confused in this situation, all the children began to laugh at him. But Nimai, to protect his dignity, told them, do not laugh. So Nimai saw that he was really in a predicament. So he said, actually, your poem was very nice. You must be tired because you recited so much beautiful, beautiful creative art. Now, you go home, you study your books tonight, and you could try to answer my questions tomorrow. So Keshav Kashmiri walked away, went home. He was in total distress. What happened? I have conquered in debate the greatest scholars in all directions, and here is a little child who's a grammar teacher, and he defeated me. I received a boon from the goddess Saraswati that any time I open my mouth, she will appear and speak through me. What happened? Did I make some offense to her? He was so confused. He worshipped Saraswati, begging her for some understanding of why she was displeased with him. Then he went to sleep. And his worshipable goddess Saraswati appeared to him. She told him that you are my devotee and you prayed for benediction for me. But my real benediction was not that you become a Digvijay pundit, a great scholar, and you impress and attract people all over the world by your scholarship. That was not the real benediction I gave you. Because you are my devotee, the real benediction I gave you was I led you to have darshan with the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Nimai Pandit is Krishna himself, the supreme master of all masters, the creator of all existence. I am the menial maidservant of Nimai. Whatever knowledge I have given you, I have received from him. He is the reservoir of all pleasure. Now you become humble and you surrender to him. That is the boon that I give you.
The next morning, Keshav Kashmiri went right to Nimai's house alone. He renounced his entourage of thousands of glorifiers. When Nimai came to his door, Keshav Kashmiri fell at his feet, weeping, begging for mercy. Nimai said, "What happened to you? Why are you doing like this?" He said, "Saraswati told me everything. You are my Lord, you are my Master, I surrender to you." Nimai told him that the perfection of life is not scholarship. The perfection of life is not fame and followers and wealth. The perfection of life is devotion, humility and devotion. Never forget that. And I will bless you that you will always remember me. Keshav Kashmiri became a transcendental pure devotee. He left Navadvip in his bare feet all alone, renouncing all of these distractions, where he lived the rest of his life immersed in the thought of his beloved Lord, Sri Nimai. The devotees, how much difficulty they had in dealing with Nimai. Because they loved him more than anything else in life, but they didn't understand who he was, and it was so difficult to be near him because he never talked about Krishna. He would just challenge them to all kinds of logical debates. One day he saw Gadadhar, and Gadadhar was thinking, "I have to run away." And he grabbed Gadadhar by the hand. He said, "Gadadhar, I have a question for you." Gadadhar said, "What is your question?" "What is the meaning of liberation, mukti?" He said, "Liberation means to be free from all the sufferings of the limitations of this world." Nimai said, "No, that is not the meaning of liberation." And everything Gadadhar said, Nimai would just tear to pieces, logically, grammatically, and philosophically. And Gadadhar just wanted to hear about Krishna. He was just thinking in his mind, "How can I escape from this situation?" And after some time, Nimai said, "All right, Gadadhar, you can go home now, study your books, and tomorrow I will have more questions for you." One day, Nimai was walking along the pathway with his students, and there was Mukunda Dutt. He saw Mukunda Dutt coming. Then Mukunda Dutt saw him coming, and he ran the other way. So Nimai asked his friends, "Why did he run the other way, Mukunda?" And they said, "He must have some pressing appointment somewhere else." He said, "No, that is not the reason. It's because he only likes to hear about Krishna. He doesn't like to hear anything except Krishna." Then he started crying out to Mukunda, said, "Mukunda, you just wait someday. You don't like to be with me because I don't talk about Krishna, but someday you and all the devotees and all the demigods will never leave my lotus feet because you will be constantly in my association chanting the glories of Krishna." The devotees, they could not understand. I mean, not devotees, students. The students could not understand. What is he saying? the devotees' priority was to perform kirtan with the singular prayer in their heart, Krishna, oh Srimati Radharani, please, our heartfelt prayer offered, make Nimai a devotee. We can't give up his association, but we can't come near him. If Nimai becomes a devotee, he will make the whole world chant your holy names. One day Nimai was walking from the Ganga and he saw Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur was senior in age, approximately the age of Nimai's father. So Srivas said to Nimai, why do you waste your time with this mundane scholarship? It will all end at the time of death. It is all just perpetuating illusion. Why don't you take to the chanting of the names of Krishna and hearing the glories of Krishna? And Nimai, with folded hands, said, I have a few more things to do, but because I have received the blessings of a great devotee like you, someday you will see I will become Krishna's devotee. He wanted to reveal to the world that no one can enter into the realm of devotional service without the heartfelt blessings of the Vaishnavas. The very favorite disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Srila Ishwara Puri Pad, came to visit Navadvip. He stayed at the house of Gopinath Acharya. Gadadhar Pandit was his very, very favorite student. One day he was walking along the Ganga and Nimai approached him. By this time, Nimai was married. His first wife, Lakshmi Devi, left her body when he went to Bangladesh. And Sachi Mata remarried him to Vishnupriya, the goddess of fortune, Bhu Devi. So Nimai invited Ishwara Puri to his home. And there Nimai personally fed him with his own hands and heard Ishwara Puri speak the glories of Krishna. During that visit, Nimai accepted Ishwara Puri as a very, very, very exalted Vaishnava. Shortly after that, on the excuse of going to Gaya to perform the Shraddha for his father, in the Gadadhar Vishnu temple, he happened to meet Ishwara Puri. It was at that time that Lord Chaitanya revealed the ecstatic bhava of Srimati Radharani from his heart. Upon seeing the footprints of Lord Vishnu and hearing the Brahmins glorifying the lotus feet of the Lord, profuse rivers of tears flowed from his eyes in ecstasy. It was there in Gaya that Lord Chaitanya requested Ishwara Puri to give him initiation into the Vaishnav Sampradaya, giving him the 10-syllable mantra for Lord Krishna. Ishwara Puri became the spiritual master of the Lord. Ishwara Puri understood who he was. He said to Nimai, when I first saw you in Navadvip, my love for you was not different than my love for Krishna. Therefore, I understand your true identity. You are asking me for initiation. You are my supreme eternal master. But as your servant, I will become your spiritual master. After the initiation ceremony, Nimai humbly served Ishwarapuri with menial offerings. He cooked for him, he cleaned for him, he served him, he massaged him. And Ishwarapuri gave him the order that you should take the name of Krishna and you should broadcast it to the world. Never stop chanting Hare Krishna. It is the only hope for human civilization. Nimai took that order from his spiritual master as his life and soul. It was only after receiving the order to promote the Sankirtan movement that Nimai began his great mission. One late at night after the initiation ceremony, Nimai just left his comrades who came with him and went running to Vrindavan. Nobody knew where he disappeared from. He was running and running to Vrindavan. Now he has accepted a guru. He has accepted ecstatic love in the chanting of the holy names. It was manifesting. He wanted to go back home to Vrindavan. As he was rushing to Vrindavan, just in a trance of ecstatic love and separation, the demigods spoke from the higher planets. They said, Nimai, now is not the time to go to Vrindavan. You have descended into this world to promote the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy names. Now you return to Navadvip. You establish the chanting amongst your devotees and spread it throughout the world. And later on you could go to Vrindavan. Please forgive us for speaking this, but it is our duty to remind you of your mission. So Nimai understood. And he went back to Gaya and along with his friends returned to Navadvip. Many relatives, friends and devotees came to Sachimata's house to greet him. When the devotees saw the ecstatic transformations of love of God upon him, they were struck with wonder. Nimai brought some of the devotees into a secluded place and revealed his heart. That when I went to Gaya, I saw the lotus feet of Vishnu. As soon as he talked about the lotus feet of Vishnu, immediately all of the ecstatic symptoms of love of God manifested in his body like had never been seen before in the world. Torrents of tears, horripilations, choked up voice, hair standing on end, changing of colors, bodily trembling. The devotees were amazed. He said, I saw Krishna, but then he disappeared. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? He fell to the ground. He said, I will tell you the secrets of my heart tomorrow. So Sriman Pandit, the next day, as he was picking flowers from the Kalpa Briksha vine of Srivas Thakur, told the devotees at Suklambar Brahmachari's house today, Nimai, who has become a Vaishnav, is going to reveal his heart to us. So Nimai was revealing his ecstasies of love and separation. The devotees rejoiced, the fulfillment of all their prayers. From that day on, none of the devotees could part from the association of Lord Chaitanya for even a moment without suffering intense separation of love. Throughout the day, he was performing Sankirtan with his devotees. Nityananda Prabhu came from Vrindavan to join him in his Harinam Sankirtan movement. Advaita Prabhu came from Shantipur to join him in his Sankirtan movement. Day after day after day they were chanting. One day, Nimai was walking down the street and he heard someone chanting 1,000 names of Vishnu. And when he heard the name Narasingadev, he became so ecstatic. He manifested his bhav of Lord Narasingha.